Lord, please, in a word of opening prayer, I ask for his help and his presence with us this morning. Let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to thee today, and in through the most worthy and all precious name of our Savior, we ask, O God, that right at the very commencement of the service of worship, Lord, that you'll come and be one of our number. Come and speak to us, O God, we pray, and pour out your presence upon us, Lord. Pour out the power of God, the Holy Spirit, upon us just now. Help us to worship and to praise thee as we ought. Be with us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. And we're going to ask you to turn to your hymn books because our projector is playing up this morning. So you turn to the hymn book. It's a long time since we've done this. And hopefully there are hymn books for everybody. We're going to turn to Psalm number 90, please. The Psalm number 90. And the page is number 83. Page number 83 and Psalm number 90. The first version of this great psalm, Psalm of Moses, and we're going to sing from verse 1 down to the end of verse 9. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in generations all, before thou ever hadst brought forth the mountains great or small. Psalm number 90, and we will stand as we sing verses 1 down to the end of verse 9, and we'll stand as we sing the Lord's praise. Stand and sing.
Oh,
Let's take the Lord, please, again in prayer. Let's come to worship Him in prayer this morning, as we have already worshipped Him in praise of our lips. Let's seek His face just now in prayer. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee. And we thank Thee, Lord, that from everlasting to everlasting Thou art God. We thank Thee, Lord, today that this psalm reminds us, Lord, that Thou art the Ancient of Days, the One, Lord, who is eternal. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that as we come before Thee, we do not, Lord, come to a mortal man. Lord, we do not come to one with failings such as we have. O God, we thank Thee today that we come to the One who is perfect, the One who is pure, the One who is almighty and all-powerful. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we come before the Lord God of heaven and earth, the One, Lord, who, Lord, reigns in that power of an endless life. O God, we thank Thee today that we have this wonderful privilege to come into Thy presence. Lord, right into the very presence of Almighty God, the One who made us, the One who sees us, the One who knows all about us. And yet, O God, we thank Thee today that we can come to Thee. And Lord, as we come to Thee, we do so all in the merits of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for the One at Thy right hand. We thank Thee, Lord, for the One who gave His life, the One who shed His precious blood, the One who made it possible for us to be brought to God. We thank Thee, Lord, that on the finished work of Christ, we have an acceptance, we have an audience with Thee. And Lord, we rejoice our souls, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise to Thee this morning. O God, that we can come before Thee, each one that's saved this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we can lift our hearts to thank Thee for ever setting Your love upon us. We can never understand it. Lord, we can never, Lord, begin to fully take it in why You should ever love sinful wretches such as we. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today that we're loved as He is loved. We're accepted as He is accepted. We thank Thee, Lord, today that our sins, which were many, have all been cast into the sea of Thy forgetfulness. And, O God, it is our prayer, Lord, that what You have done for us, Lord, that You'll do for others. O God, we pray that this day, Lord, that You'll speak to hearts. Lord, for those who are still out of Christ, Lord, we pray that this will be a day of salvation to them. Lord, that You'll come and take a dealing. Come and do something new amongst us, O God, we pray. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, we ask. Heavenly Father, we pray for that word from God today. We ask, O God, that this word, Lord, will come, Lord, truly as a word from Thee. O God, speak to us this morning, we pray. Lord, we are very conscious of how much we need to hear from Thee. Lord, in the week that has passed, we have heard many voices, we have heard many opinions. But, O God, we need to hear the voice of God. Therefore, O God, still our hearts. Lord, silence all other voices this morning, we pray. And, O God, we pray that we might be still and know that Thou art God. Speak to us, we pray, and pour out Your presence, Your power upon us. O God, we pray today that You'll remember each one who has gathered in the house of the Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, for the grace and the mercy of God that finds us here. Lord, we are here accepted. Lord, we are here to worship. And, O God, we thank Thee today that we can come to Thee. But, O God, we pray today for those who are not able to gather with us. We think, Lord, of those who are unwell at this time. Lord, those who are in hospital, we pray, Lord, that You'll draw alongside to them, touch them in their bodies, O God, we pray. Raise them back to that desired measure of health and strength once again. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those unwell in their own homes. Minister to them. Touch them, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray as well today for those who are far from God. Lord, those who have grown cold and careless in their living for Christ. O God, we pray that You'll draw them back, Lord, to Thyself, we pray. Bring them back to their first love. O God, come and do something new within their hearts and lives. O God, stir hearts. Set us on fire for Thee today. And Lord, we pray that through everything, Lord, may the name of our Savior be glorified and lifted on high. Remember those who are serving Thee in far-off lands. Remember the persecuted church. Remember the underground church today. We ask, O God, that You'll draw near. Remember, Lord, those of our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who do not have the liberties and the freedoms as we have. Strengthen their faith. Encourage them, O God, we pray. And Lord, may we ever cherish all the freedoms that we have to worship Thee publicly. Bless the going forth of Thy word, we pray. Bless every faithful herald of the gospel. Encourage, O God, we pray, the ministers of Thy truth at this time. And Lord, we pray that we might see a work done for Thee. Pray for our land and for our nation. Lord, in the midst of all of thy wrath, remember thy mercy. Turn us again. O God, cause thy face to shine. So be near to us, we pray. Be pleased, O God, to answer prayer. And Lord, we ask, O God, that we be pleased, Lord, that as we leave this place, may we know that God has been here, that we've heard the voice of the Lord. Speak to us and speak through us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning we're turning back to the book of 2 Kings, please. Book of 2 Kings and the chapter number 6 this time. 2 Kings chapter 6. Continuing on in our studies in the life of Elisha, we come to this pretty strange, I suppose, account in the ministry of Elisha, the subject and the account of the lost axe head, a man working and chopping away at trees, and all of a sudden the head of his axe falls into the river. And it seems somewhat of a strange account, a strange story, but I trust that as we come to consider it a little later, the Lord would be pleased to reveal his word to our hearts. It's a short scripture reading this morning, just 7 verses, 2 Kings, and the chapter number 6. And we'll read from verse number 1 down to the end of verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 6 and the verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go thee. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, go and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. We are glad to see you, and we welcome you in the Savior's name this morning. And we want to extend that very special welcome to you all for joining with us and being a part of our service this morning. Also to those who are watching online as well, we welcome you as well this morning. Again, on behalf of our congregation, our committee, our elders, and all of our congregation, we want to express our sympathies once again to the McCune family. This family sadly have been plunged into great sorrow and grief. This morning, once again, Ken McCune's older brother, died suddenly this morning from a heart attack. And we want to remember Ken and Janie in their time of difficulty once again. It just seems to be one thing after another for this dear family. And I know they would appreciate your prayers at this time of great loss. Remember Janie and Ken at this time, that the Lord would speak into that situation and that the Lord would give the grace and the help and the strength that is needed. Do remember the meetings throughout today in the will of the Lord. We have the Sunday school over in Redburn this afternoon at 2:30. And then we come back again tonight at 6:30 for our gospel meeting. Now, the meeting tonight will take a different format, in that it will take a missionary deputation meeting. Now, normally these are held during the week, but we weren't able to get our brother during the week, so he's coming this evening. And that's our brother, the Reverend Ankel Alvarez, if that's how you pronounce Spanish, but I'm not very good at that. But he'll be able to speak good English and also even better Spanish, and you'll understand all that he says tonight. We're glad to have him. Always enjoyed him in the past, and I trust that you'll come and join with us as he comes and shares with us of what the Lord is doing there as he ministers in the city of Madrid in Spain. So you come this evening. You make it your intention and your plan to be here and to hear of what our brother has to say. There will also be an offering during the meeting. I know we don't normally do that apart from deputation meetings, but there will be an offering taken up during the meeting tonight, and that will go to help with the work there in Spain. So do remember that, please. Come yourself and bring others with you. We'd love to see you back tonight for the special missionary meeting. And do remember the season of prayer as well before that at 6. Tuesday night, Explorers Club at 6:30. And then our Bible study and prayer meeting on Tuesday evening as well at 8 p.m. And if I could ask the members of committee just to wait behind very briefly for a short time after the meeting on Tuesday night, God willing, please. This Friday night, No Youth Fellowship, Presbytery will be on in Crossgar on Friday night at 8 p.m. The next weekend, that brings us to our Harvest Thanksgiving weekend, and that will start on Saturday morning with the decorating of the church for the harvest weekend. And so the church will be open from 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. We're making an appeal to you if you can bring in flowers and vegetables and fresh produce and all of that. Anything that you can bring in will be used in the decorating for the harvest. So that's next Saturday morning, 10 a.m., and all those with a skillful, decorative, creative eye, your help would be appreciated as well. From 10 o'clock next Saturday morning. Then our Harvest Thanksgiving services commence next Sunday morning at 11:30. Reverend Raymond McLernan will be along to preach. We were to have our brother, the Reverend Tom Shaw, but he has gone into hospital for an operation. And so we're glad that our brother, the Reverend McLernan, is able to come next Sunday morning and preach in the opening meeting of our Harvest Thanksgiving weekend. Our brother Stephen Anderson will be along to sing next Sunday morning. And then next Sunday night at 6:30, the Reverend Timothy Omerod from our Six Mile Cross Church will be here to bring God's Word, and our brother David Warwick will be singing. Now, normally we have the Harvest Supper on the Monday night, but we're moving that to the Sunday night of next week. So the Harvest Supper will be after the Sunday night meeting next Sunday evening at 6:30. So remember that. But we have then the Harvest services continuing on the Monday evening at 8 o'clock. And the Reverend Ryan McKee from Mockerfeld will be here to preach. And he and his wife will also be singing. So remember these Harvest weekend services and make it your intention to be here. And use it as an opportunity to invite people in to the meetings next Sunday, 11:30, 6:30, and then next Monday night at 8 o'clock. There are still some copies of the special commemorative edition of the Vision magazine brought out to remember our late monarch, Queen Elizabeth. And if you didn't get ones last week, then there are more here for you this week. Take them with you and use them, as we said, as a means of outreach and giving to others as well. I want you to remember those who continue to need our prayers. Remember our sister Molly Kyle. Molly has been through her operation. Do remember Molly as she recovers at this time, please. Also remember our brother William Crane, and our brother Alvin. Good to see Alvin with us this morning. And let's remember these dear people in prayer. Also our brother Ben Beattie. Ben has also had his operation and hopes to get home tomorrow. And so do remember Ben in your prayers, please. Stephen's granny has got home, or got to a nursing care, and also Billy's mum is home from hospital. But continue to pray for them, that the Lord will keep his hand upon them for good. You may know and be aware that yesterday a few folks from our church went up the mountains and did the Seven Sevens Challenge in memory to raise money for the mountain rescue team that were so important back on the 8th of March, and they rescued the boys from the mountain. And we're thankful for the Lord's hand upon them, and we're good to see them. I'm sure they're a little sore today, but Connor, Stephen, and Lindsay from their own congregation, along with other of Samuel's friends, went up the mountains yesterday and did that Seven Sevens Challenge. And we commend them for that and raising money for a very worthy cause. And if you haven't contributed to that and you would like to, then you speak to Connor or Stephen, and they'd be only too happy to help you in that regard. It's a very worthy cause, the Mountain Rescue Team, and so if you would like to support them in that, then there's still opportunity for you to do so. Finally, do remember then the offering box is still available as you leave this morning for your tithes and for your offerings. Well, let's sing again the words of our hymn this time, hymn number 182. And we'll ask you to use your hymn books once again, please. 182, the page is 250. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. Hymn number 182, and the page is 250. And we'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please. Let's stand and sing. Second Kings chapter 6 again, please. Second Kings chapter 6. And we'll consider these seven verses that we read together. Very simply, just the title of the lost axe head. But before we come to the Word of God, let's seek His face, please, in another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our prayer just now, as we have been singing, that You would be pleased to break the bread of life to our souls. O God, we pray that You'll come and feed us with manna from on high. Lord, we are in need this morning. Our souls need to be nourished and fed. Lord, we pray that You'll be pleased to come and speak to us out of the Word of God and truly make this a living word to our souls. O God, we pray, grant Thy peace. Grant, O God, today Thy help, Lord, as we consider the Word of God. May the Spirit of the living God take His own Word and apply it to all our hearts, we pray. Be with us, continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. So as we continue on this journey with Elisha, and we have this ringside seat to view and to observe his ministry, we come to a point now in his life and his ministry where he's not dealing with big problems. He's not dealing with major issues that we have seen him dealt with in the past. Rather, he's coming to deal with an insignificant, a pretty mundane situation. It involves the loss of an axe head. It doesn't seem an overly big issue. And yet, as we consider these verses this morning, and the various teachings that this account has for us, it's a good reminder to us that the Lord is interested in the small issues of our life, as well as the big issues. The Lord is interested in those things that seem insignificant and seem unimportant, really, in the grand scheme of things. The Lord is interested in the small things, just as he is in the big things. What has happened here in 2 Kings 6, verses 1 through to 7, is that this worker has lost his ability to work. He has, we might say, lost his cutting edge. He was involved in the work. He was engaged in the work. He'd been chopping down trees for a new building. And all of a sudden, the axe head that he was using fell off, went into the river, and he couldn't work anymore. He had lost his cutting edge in the work. And you know, folks, how true that is of us spiritually. There are times, perhaps more often than we want to admit, that we can lose our cutting edge, our sharpness for the work. We're not as sharp, we're not as focused, we're not as motivated for the work as once we were. And maybe someone this morning, sitting here in this congregation, and that could be said of you. You've lost your cutting edge spiritually. You're not as bright for the Lord as once you were. And your service for the Lord is not what it used to be. And as a result, you're not as active and not as busy in the work. You see, the reality is that can happen to any one of us at any time. And it makes no difference who we are, what position we have or don't have. There are times we can all lose our cutting edge for the Lord. And yet, the account here in 2 Kings chapter 6 shows us that it shouldn't stay that way. We shouldn't remain in that state where we've lost out with God. That if we have lost our sharpness for the work of God, if we have lost our cutting edge, that there's a way it can be restored. And it must be restored. We should not be content with where we are spiritually. The instruction in the Word of God is that we should never be at ease in Zion. We should never come to that point in our lives when we think we have made it, or we've come to that point where we think we can do nothing more for the Lord. There is always something that we can do, and we can regain our spiritual effectiveness. This lost axe head has some wonderful lessons and accounts for us. First of all, as we consider these verses this morning, I want you to see, first of all, the initiative that was taken. The initiative that was taken. If you look at the opening verses of this chapter, verses 1 and 2, you'll find that here's a scene of activity. Here's a scene of busyness. Elisha is once again at the school of the prophets. We read that in verse number 1, one of the Bible colleges. But there was a problem here. But it was a good problem. The problem was that there wasn't enough room for all the students to study. Verse number 1 says, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." There wasn't enough room for all the students to study and to learn the Word of God. That's a good problem to have. And remember, this is against the backdrop of a day of apostasy and darkness in the land. Baal worship was rife in the nation at this time. And yet here's the encouraging thing. The Lord's work was still going forward. The Lord was still advancing his work, still progressing his work. the Lord was still building his church. Even though things were hard, even though it was a time of spiritual departure. And folks, before we go any further into this account, I want you to take encouragement. God was building his church in a day of darkness. And folks, that's when we often see really the real work that goes on. When God builds his church, when it seems that humanly speaking, it is impossible for it to go forward. The Lord was working here. And even when things are hard and difficult, the Lord is building his church. And I don't need to tell you this morning that we are living in very, very dark, difficult days for the Church of Jesus Christ. Very hard. You probably can think back to your own life. I don't think it's as hard in the work of God today as it's ever been. And the blessings seem to be very few. And we work and we labor and there seems to be little happening. And yet the great truth is that the Lord's still working. We may not always see it, but he's still working. In this day of darkness, God's work was still going forward. And there's the instruction, the encouragement for us there to keep going on in the work of God. As we think of this initiative that was taken, I want you to see here, as these people worked, that there was the desire for work. As we said, this was a day of apostasy. The Lord was still working. And this place here had outgrown its building. They needed larger and better facilities. They were in a place that was too straight. They were cramped, we might say. And so these people had a desire for the work of God, and they had a desire to see the work of God go forward. In verse 3, they said, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell." They had a vision for the work. Let's go and build somewhere. And they had a desire, they had a mind to work, even though it was dark. And as I've said, it can so often be in the work of God that in such days, the child of God can become very despondent. And we see all the problems, and that's all we see. It would have been very easy for these sons of the prophets, these Bible college students, if we want to put them in today's terms, to have just thought, well, this is too hard and the problem's too great, there's nothing we can do, and let's just continue what we're doing. No. They went and did something. They were not standing still. They were wanting to grow. They were expanding. They were looking to the Lord to bless his work. They had a zeal. They had a desire for the work, but coming back into verse number 2, you see they had a determination. Look what it says, verse 2, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan." They acted, they worked. They didn't simply talk about doing the work. They didn't say, well, this problem's a great problem. This problem's a terrible problem. We can't do anything now. They went and did something about the problem. And folks, it is the easiest thing in the world to point out all the problems. Anybody can tell you every problem there is. But it's doing something about that problem. It's been very easy for these men to have sat down and used the prevailing circumstances as an excuse. Well, let's just not do anything. And they were determined to work, despite their lack of resources. They didn't have anything. Verse 2, they said, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell." They didn't say, well, let's go and use what we have. They didn't have anything. They pressed on, even though they had no resources. What they were doing was living by faith and stepping out in faith. They had nothing, but they were dedicated to God and determined to do His work. If no one else was going to do it, they were going to do it. You see, folks, today the Lord is not looking for people with great abilities, great skills. He is looking for people, ordinary people like you and me, just who are willing to do the work. And in this determination, we see as well they were united. Verse 2, let us go, we pray thee, on to Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. You see all the unity there. Every man, let us where we may dwell. They were working in harmony and working in unity. Of course, that's where the Lord commands the blessing. And I thank God today. And I say this in love and with great respect to this congregation. I thank God today for the unity that we have in this church. I thank God today for the harmony that we have in this church. And I know that when we call and when we ask for help, that help is always coming. Because people have a mind to work. They all thought the same way. They were of one mind. And you know, folks, there is a work to be done in this area too. There's a work to be done in this church. And we need to be at the work. Not just to leave it to the others. Not just to say, well, they do that work and I don't really want to step in. There's always work to do. We can all share the burden and help out. And I trust that as a congregation, we will see the need and press on, even though it might seem very hard and very, very difficult. These men saw the need. They saw what needed to be done, and they were going to give up their time. They were going to give up and exert effort in the work of God. They took the initiative. And you know, sometimes, folks, it can be very easy just to go through all the motions. Just to be content, well, I'm saved, and that's it. No, there's a work for us to do. There's a tremendous challenge that faces us. And we need to step out in faith. We need to step forward in faith. We need to live by faith. We can see all the problems. We can see all the difficulties. And if that's all we see, then we'll do nothing for God. But rather than seeing the greatness of the problem, may we see the greatness of our Lord, who is able to do things greater than we could ever ask or think. Let us make a place there where we may dwell. We see the initiative that was taken. But let's come into the real heart of this story now and see now the interruption that was experienced. Because in the midst of this work, there came an interruption. The men, as we see in verse number 2, they came to Elisha and they asked his mind. They wanted to get the mind of the man of God on this. And he gives his permission. At the end of verse 2, he says, go ye. These men saw the need. They saw what needed to be done. And in this position here, and their very action of going to Elisha, they were acknowledging they needed the Lord's help. They were not independents. They didn't act on their own initiative or their own impulse. They sought the guidance of Elisha, the man of God. It shows their spiritual maturity. But it also shows their spiritual honesty in that they realized they needed the help of God. And so they get to the work. Verse number 4 we read, and so he went with them, that is Elisha, went with them, and they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But Verse 5. As one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Now suddenly, out of nowhere, there comes this interruption in the work. The axe head falls off and flies into the River Jordan and sinks right to the very bottom of that river. As we think of this interruption, come back into verse 5. Notice the circumstances in it. Notice the circumstances of this interruption. But as one was felling a beam, this interruption came at a time of industry, at a time of busyness. It came when work was being done. This man was involved in hard and earnest work. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't being lazy. Rather, he was being active. He was cutting down the trees to help in this new building project. And yet, this interruption still came. Even when there was a determination to do the work, there will still be difficulties in the work. Sometimes we think when we're active and we're busy in the work of God that we shouldn't have problems, that there shouldn't be downtimes. Well, this shows us that there will be problems even when we're busy in the work of God. There will be difficulties to be overcome. And let's bring that into our own lives. As you seek to live for God, as you seek to work and labor for the Lord, we've got to expect there'll be times when difficulty will come. We wonder why they come. We're busy, we're doing something for the Lord, and yet why has this come? So this was a time when this man was busy in the work of God. And the work of God and doing the will of God isn't always plain sailing. Sometimes we have this notion that if we step out for God and step out in the will of God and we're in the center of the will of God, that it'll all be sunny. It'll not always be sunny. There'll be times when it's difficult. And there'll be times when we wonder, what on earth are we doing here? Have we made a mistake? Why is this happening? I thought we were doing what the Lord wanted us to do. Just because we're in the will of God doesn't mean that we're not going to experience problems. This man experienced problems because we consider the circumstances of this interruption. Notice now the crisis of this interruption. Because unintentionally, unexpectedly, this work now stops. Here he is, think about it, picture it with your mind's eye. He's hacking away at this tree and suddenly the axe head falls off. And he can no longer do the work. And suddenly he becomes ineffective. He has lost his cutting edge. And now there's a crisis. The very thing he needed, he no longer had. The essential instrument that was so important for him doing this work was now gone, and so the work halted and hindered. And have we not seen that happen in our own lives? All of a sudden, something happens and we lose our cutting edge. Spiritually, we lose out with the Lord. Yes, we're in the work of God. Yes, we're involved in the service of the Master, but suddenly something happens and we lose out. There's something missing in our lives. We've become blunt and ineffective. We've lost out. Now, how easily that can happen to any one of us. We labor, we work, we press on, and all of a sudden, something has happened. I want you to remember again, and I emphasize this point for a reason, that this was a man who was working. This wasn't a layabout. This wasn't some cold, carnal Christian shouting from the sidelines about everything that needed to be done. You know those people. And pointing out all the problems and the failures of those who were doing the work. This was somebody actually involved in the work. And yet, he still lost out with God. He lost his cutting edge. And folks, we can be active. We can be busy in the work of God and still lose out with God. We can be so busy and still lose our effectiveness for Him. You see, this man had been so busy chopping down the trees that he neglected to check the axe. There's a tremendous challenge there, and I trust you see it. We can be so busy, and that's good. But if we don't check our own lives, where we are with God, very quickly, we can lose our sharpness in the work of God. We can go through all the motions and doing all that is expected of us and tick all the boxes. And yet if we don't check our own lives spiritually, we can lose out with Him. One Bible commentator, James Merritt, said that this man was diligent in his work, but he was negligent in his watch. He was diligent in the work, but he was negligent in his watch. In other words, he was busy, but he failed to check his own life. We can be busy, too busy, that we neglect to watch for our own souls. Oh, how we need to keep short accounts with God. Folks, don't rely on the blessing of yesterday or the day before or the week before or the year before. We need to keep short accounts with God. Where are we today with God? You might have been effective for the Lord, sharp for the Lord years ago, but where are you today? Where am I today? This man lost out with God while in the work of God. And how we can lose our effectiveness for the work. And the work can overtake us. And we lose out with God. And we stop seeking God in prayer, that essential component, that essential instrument in our Christian living and service. It's gone. And we're just going through the motions and achieving nothing. You see, this was a wake-up call to this man. Check your effectiveness. Check how sharp you are spiritually with God. Check where you are. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. This was a crisis. But as we consider this interruption further, notice the cry of this interruption. Look at the anguish of the man in verse 5. And he cried and said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. It wasn't even his own axe. He had to borrow it. In fact, in the original meaning, he had to beg for this. He had nothing. He had to beg for this very axe. It wasn't his own. Now he has lost it. It's of no effect anymore. He's not going to cut down any trees with the stump of another bit of wood. He needed the axe head. He needed that sharpness. And he cries unto the man of God. He cries to Elisha, "Alas, my master." See the anguish there? You see the pain in this man's heart? That which he knew was so vital to the work was gone. And I want you to see that axe head there in verse number 5 as a picture of the Holy Spirit. What is so vital? What is essential in our hearts and lives as we seek to live and minister for God? What is it? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that makes us useful in the work of God. And yet how often we can lose the Holy Spirit. We can just go through the motions. And outwardly all seems well. And yet we do not have the Spirit of God in our lives. Is there something missing in your life, in your Christian witness? Are we aware of it? Have we lost out with God? Did we cry this morning before we came to the house of God, Spirit of God, speak to me, fill me? Or just going through the motions? Just going through the form and how we need to cry and constantly cry and call unto the Lord. Alas, Master, what was he doing there? He says, Elisha, I need your help. And without your help, my service is of no use. You see, this man had to be honest. He had to be honest before God. And if we're honest before God today, have we lost out with him? Have we lost our effectiveness for the work of God? Have we lost out with him? We can be busy, and that is good, and I commend that. But have we the power of God resting in our lives to help us do that work? This man realized there was something missing. And he cried, Alas, Master. Oh, May our honesty before God bring us to that place where we cry unto the Lord for his help. We see the initiative that was taken, the interruption that was experienced, but finally as we close, now notice the intervention that was needed. The intervention that was needed. Verse 6 says, The man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said that whenever God does anything, in the first place we find it impossible. In the second place we find it difficult. And in the third place we find it done. First place we find it impossible. It seemed impossible that this axe head could ever come from the bottom of the River Jordan back onto the stump of that man's axe. In the second place, it was difficult. But in the third place, it was done, because we'll see that this axe head was recovered. How was this interruption going to be overcome? How was this man's axe head ever going to be found and recovered from the bottom of the Jordan? How was his power that he had lost going to be restored? It seemed impossible, but with God all things are possible. It was divine intervention here. It was the Lord stepping into the situation here and making that which seemed impossible, possible. As we think of this intervention, notice the request, verse 6. And the man of God, who is Elisha, of course, said, Where fell it? Where fell it? I don't know what this man thought Elisha would say to him. But in this very question, just three words of this question, where fell it? Elisha was giving this man hope. In this hopeless situation, he was giving him hope. You see, he believed it was all over. He believed there was nothing more that could be done. The axe is gone. It wasn't even his own. But it was gone, and he was of no more use in the work of God. And how often do we get there? We've lost, and we think there's nothing of benefit that we can be, and we've given up hope. But Elisha was showing this man there is still hope. And he was wanting to awaken his senses to that hope. This axe head could and would be recovered. The request, but notice the response. What did the man do? He showed him the place. What did he have to do? He had to retrace his steps back. He had to go back to the place where he lost the accident. He had to go back to the place where he lost his power, his ability, his effectiveness in the work. And folks, we have to go back to that place, wherever it may be, that we have lost out with God. Where did it fall? What is it that's caused you to lose your cutting edge with the Lord? Was it lack of devotion? Was it a bitter spirit? Was it worldliness? Was it failing in your attendance at the house of God? Where is it? Where is it that you've lost out with God? Because that's where you'll find it again. He showed him the place. He didn't try to cover it up. He just was honest before the man of God. He said, I lost out in that place, and that's where I need to go back to. We notice the recovery. How this accident was recovered. He showed him the place, verse 6, and he, that is Elisha, cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. This accident was recovered by a branch that was cut off the tree. This little sapling cut off a tree and thrown into the deep, in the darkness of the river. Supernaturally, this was not natural. Supernaturally, the axe head came from the bottom of the river to float on the river surface. How did that happen? Through this branch that was cut off. There's a wonderful picture there of Christ. Of Christ. Christ is referred to in the Scripture as the righteous branch. The righteous branch who was cut off and thrown into the darkness and the depths of God's wrath. That we who were guilty, vile, lost sinners from the depths of sin, from the pit of sin, could be brought to the surface, to the place of life and usefulness. Every grace, everything we have, everything that we need, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to us through Christ. I was tempted to speak on this, although I'm not speaking tonight, in the gospel, but maybe at another time. But Christ had to be cast into the Jordan. Jordan speaks of death. And he had to be cast into the Jordan in order to redeem sinners, to bring them from the gutters of sin, bring them to the very top. But what's the picture here? This man had to get back to Christ, and only Christ could help him. We have no other answer today but Christ. We have no other message, we have no other mandate but Christ. And through the supernatural power of God, this axe head was recovered, brought from the depths, and the iron did swim. There's the divine intervention of God. He brought that which seemed to be impossible and made it possible. Can you think of the man's jubilation now, his joy? He saw that thing that he thought had been lost. Now floating and swimming. Finally, notice the restoring. Verse 7. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. You see, that axe head could have stayed on the surface of the River Jordan. But if that man hadn't reached out to grab it and take it, it would have been of no use to him. And God has given us, through Christ, every resource to do the work of God. But we need to lay hold of that. We need to reach out by faith, take the hand of faith, and and see our work and our usefulness for the Lord restored. He needed to see that that was what he needed more than anything else. And I wonder today, will you reach out the hand of faith and lay hold in the power of God, which is available to us, and get back to that place of service and usefulness for God. Get back to that place where we need to be with God. Maybe it's in the devotional time. You've lost out with him. You need to get back there. Wherever it is that you need to get back to, you need to do it. Are you willing to reach out the hand of faith and say, Lord, I've lost out with you, and I want to get back to that place where I once was? Will we rededicate our lives afresh to the Lord and regain the power of God, be re-energized, be refocused by the power of God? You see, this account reminds us that although we fail, our failure is never final. There's always a way back. Are we willing to walk that way? Are we willing to go that way? Are we willing to be honest and open before God and say, Lord, I've lost out with you, but I need to get back. Will you come back today? Get back to that place of service and usefulness in the work of God. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray, Lord,